Truly what a day that will be. And I will say this, thank you very much to my brother Everett for bringing me some water up here. My children brought me a small glass, and Everett got me a big glass, and I better be careful. I'll have to take an intermission before it's over with. But this last, the last few weeks we've been talking about thinking about what we are thinking about, been trying to, with purpose, be a people who aren't just so habitual that we go through everyday life and just, you know, allow certain thoughts to invade our mind and to control our lives and our thinking. So, you know, we started out at the beginning of the year really trying to put into practice thinking about what we're thinking about and winning the mind games that are played. You know, the devil tries to put in all kinds of thoughts in our head, and he tries to get us to doubt and to be afraid and to have all of this corrupt thinking. And so we've tried to think great thoughts, and we've had a lesson on thinking great thoughts and allowing ourselves to have those kind of thoughts by reading great books and the importance of being around great people. And this morning, I want to talk about dreaming great dreams. Of not necessarily the dreams we have at night that we're not in control of all the time. You know, all of us have woken from a restful night, or maybe a not so restful night, and we want to, you know, the first thing we want to do is tell our spouse or a friend or someone, "I had the nuttiest dream last night. You were there. You had this hat made out of pickles, and you just kept, you know, it was something crazy." Not those kind of dreams. Not the kind of dreams that we can't explain. But I want to talk about dreaming great dreams. The kind of dreams that we read about in Scripture. The kind of dreams that the visions that God gives us for greatness that we can have in the kingdom of God. Dreaming dreams that only God can accomplish. I've told the story and I've used it in a sermon here before, and it fits so well, and I wanted to use it again, but it's the illustration of a man who is working his way up through a company, and there's that, you know, that floor in the as you work your way up in this company, you get to move up your office and, you know, different floors of the building that they occupy. And there was, you know, the floors that no one had been to before except upper level management. You hear about, you know, the great offices and the executive washroom and everybody. And finally, this guy, he gets promoted and he moves his office up to that level of management that just normal people don't get to see, and you got to have a code on the elevator to get up there. And as he's walking around on his first day, he sees this guy just sitting in his office, turned with his back to his desk, just kind of with his feet up, just looking into space, just almost, you know, comatose. A lot like I'm sure I look when I'm preparing for sermons, and people walk by and think, "What are we paying this guy to do? He's just sitting there." And with that, we will conclude. No, I'm just kidding. But he's just sitting there. So the next day, that's enough out of you. And the next day he comes by and he walks by and he just sees him again. He's just sitting there. And he's just thinking. And the guy, you know, about a week goes by, and this guy notices every day this guy comes to work, and he just gets in his office and he sits there. Every once in a while he'll write a little something down, but he just, for the most part, just sits there, just thinking. And so finally he asks one of the other executives who's on that floor, he says, "What is the deal with this guy? He's got an office up here. He's obviously real important. He gets paid a lot of money. What's he doing? He's not doing anything." And the guy corrects him. He says, "But what you don't understand is that last year, the man that sits in that office had one idea that netted this company over $10 million. His whole job this year is to come up with another $10 million idea." So he's just sitting there thinking and dreaming and having big, whatever he can come up with to do. And I believe God is calling us, we'll get real busy doing all kinds of things and running around and trying to accomplish, and we just fill up our time and our days with emails and appointments and all this sort of stuff. Real busy, important, stuff, but do we dream great dreams? Do we sit and take the time to just allow God to birth within us a dream of greatness? A greatness within His kingdom. In the Bible, we read about great dreams. In Ephesians chapter 20, or in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read about what God can do. And He says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine to His power that is at work within us. You see that word there, ask or imagine. It's a word that means vision and dreams. It means that what can we see God doing? The fact of this verse, the fact of dreaming great dreams is that God is working within us. It's important for us to understand that God is, so much wants us to have a vision of what can be accomplished, a vision of greatness for ministry and for His kingdom. God is working and He can make more than what we dream come true. You see, it's biblical that God is working in our hearts and in our minds to birth within us great visions and great dreams. And maybe you think of, you're saying to yourself, you know, well, Shane, I do that. I have great dreams. And maybe you do. Maybe you dream great dreams about making $1 million. Or maybe you dream great dreams about making another $1 million. Or maybe you dream about playing professional sports, or your dream is that you know, you might retire early and get to travel the world, and you dream about getting out of debt, or you dream about doing all of these things, starting your own business. You might dream about just living a quiet life. Oh, what a dream, just to live a peaceful, quiet life. And let me just tell you, we lived in St. Louis for years, and we've been here for 2.5 years now. And there is no better place, I'm convinced, on the face of the earth to live a quiet, peaceful life than right here in the middle of Tennessee. As I'd ride my bike around the countryside around here, I think, oh, that's a great spot right there. And we'll climb up a hill and I'll catch my breath and, you know, the stars will part and I'll see, oh, there's another great spot. And I go visit people and there's great spots all over this state to just live a quiet and peaceful life. And what a great dream that is. To just mind your own business. And you're right, those are great dreams to have. But can I challenge you this morning? Can I put before you the challenge to not just dream great dreams, but to dream kingdom dreams. To dream about what it could be that God is trying to get you to do in His kingdom, to take the Word to people that might not know it, to ease the suffering and the pain of those who might be less fortunate. What is it that God can do in our lives to expand the border of His kingdom right here in Tullahoma? It's not necessarily all about just having great ideas and great visions, but great kingdom dreams. And the reality about kingdom dreams and the fact about them is that they're not confined to what has already been done. Whether it's in business or athletics or anything of that nature, it's always up against what's already happened. And you think about, well, we can't do that because no one's done it before. The beauty of a kingdom dream, about a dream of ministry and expanding the borders of the spiritual kingdom of God, is that they're not confined to what someone else has already accomplished. But beware. Beware of allowing God to birth within you something that He wants to happen of the kingdom dream, because it will shape everything that you do. It will absolutely grab a hold of you and it'll shape everything about every facet of your life. But the fact is that accomplishment begins with the pursuit of a great dream. The future is shaped by visions held dear in the hearts of human beings. There's tremendous power and a dream, and a vision that God can give us. A vision for the future that bleeds out of your heart. Where God has especially given you something to see, a greatness to see. It's not a have to. It's not even an ought to. But a kingdom dream quickly becomes a want to. You see, our world is shaped by people who are pursuing a dream. or we remember the birthdays and have holidays around people like that. Alexander the Great dreamed of ruling the world. He conquered most of it and shaped Western civilization. Our New Testament is written in Greek because of the dream that he had and the conquest that it took him on. Did you realize that? Dreams shape the world. Persecuted Christians and political dissidents dreamed of a land of protection and freedom, and their American territories have flourished before and after their Declaration of Independence. Hitler dreamed of establishing a superiority of his race, and the result is a devastating war that reached around an entire globe and deeply scarred an entire nation of people. And Dr. Martin Luther King, he dreamed of a society without racism, and his efforts helped to define a movement that radically altered American culture for the better. You see, a dream, whether for good or for evil, whether it's a dream that encompasses an individual or a group, dreams have mighty influences on many people. Great works almost always begin with a great dream. And I will tell you this, kingdom work always begins with a kingdom dream. In Philippians chapter 13, we read about such a reality. Do you realize that God works within us? It's God who works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. Do you understand that it is God who gives within us the dream of accomplishing greatness in His kingdom? What is it that you dream about? Maybe long ago you had a vision for greatness, a ministry that was so powerful and passionate within you, and you've already kind of allowed it to go by the wayside. Maybe you just allowed it to be defeated within you. You've chalked it up to unreasonable. You've chalked it up to improbable or impossible. God will first and foremost direct His energy toward one thing, and that's captivating your heart with great and kingdom dreams. God moves within us to dream. He moves within us to see the possibility of the work that He can do, the work that He wants to do in our life. You see, it started with an impossible dream. I mean, think about this. He said it with a straight face. He did. He an eclectic group of 12 men assembled. They had followed Him. They had gathered around Him. They had followed Him for 3 years. They listened attentively to the words of this remarkable man. And then with a straight face, He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, you go and you change the world." Within a few hundred years, a powerful, secular, corrupt culture was turned upside down, and the Christian faith was the dominant worldview. 12 regular people began that mission. They had no TVs. They had no DVDs. They had no internet. These men had no marketing plan. They had no complex strategy. They had only the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. They had only the words of Jesus. Only the visions of their own sanctified dreaming. And look what has become. And Jesus says to these guys, "You go in your every average, ordinary, everyday life. You go and you change the lives of people that you encounter every day." Some of them did not leave the region that they grew up in. Many of them went to other places and were martyred for the dream that they were given that day. But Jesus says, "Change the world." And so they went. And if you ask me, they did. My question this morning is, what kingdom dream, what vision has God wanted to bring to life through your life? What is it that you've sat and you've thought about? What is it that God could be purposefully bringing about in your life and into the life of this congregation? Tonight at 4 o'clock, we have an opportunity to not only shape the future of this congregation. Tonight, we're meeting together to talk about what it is that we want to do in this community as a congregation. Not only do we have an opportunity to shape the history and the future of this congregation, but think about this. Tonight, we have an opportunity to change the eternity of men and women that we might not even know yet, because of the ministry that could be birthed from the dream and the vision that happens in this place. What do you see as a need in this world that you would be willing to give your life so that God can fulfill it? If you don't know, maybe it's time to give God the permission to mold your heart and your mind into an instrument that will dream kingdom dreams for Him. You know, there's a lot of passages and a lot of phrases in Scripture that I want to hear. As we look at Scripture and we look at the story of Jesus talking about, you know, ministry that takes place and people helping other people and doing what it is that we've been called to do, one of the phrases that Jesus says that we all want to hear is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Read those words. Think about those words right there as they appear on the screen. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, those words don't just happen. We don't just happen through life and just do whatever it is that comes up to do. They don't just, you know, we don't get to the end of our life and just happen to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," without a vision, without a dream of what can be done, without seeing the possibilities of every situation, we can never act on them. See, I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I want to purposefully allow God to birth within me a vision and a dream, a kingdom dream of what He wants to do in my life. Because you see, there's some other words that we can also hear. And I'll just let you read those. Where there is no vision, people perish. You see, you can read in Proverbs where he says, without seeing what is possible, without a revelation of what God can do, without seeing what it is, without dreaming what God wants to accomplish through an individual or a group, all we are left with is ourselves. And when we're left with what I want to do, the end result is perishing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Or, where there's no vision, we perish. You see, there's a few things that I just cherish. There are a few things. I don't want it to sound like there are a few things. There are a few things that things that just come my way that I cherish. One of those things is every Sunday morning when I get here early before anybody else, because I want to put finishing touches on this or have prayer time or whatever it is that I want to do. I get the church mouse shows up and starts doing her thing. And Miss Doris gets here earlier than anyone besides me. And some mornings she beats me here to do the communion. And every morning that she comes, every Sunday morning, we get to talk just briefly about something. And it's something, I promise you, that impacts me profoundly in a spiritual way. And this morning, and she didn't know I was going to share this, and I hope that it's okay. This morning, Miss Doris comes in and she wants me to open the grape juice, because she's preparing the communion and the sometimes the, you know, can't open the juice container. And she's telling me about, well, you know, this thumb doesn't work good, and this, you know, my, and all this, and it's, it, you know, our bodies just break down over time. Is that not the case? And she asked me something. She said, Shane, how do I know if God's telling me that I need to stop doing something? I've done this and I've prepared this for so long, but how do I know when God's telling me no, because it hurts me to do this and I'm having a hard time doing that? How do I know when God's trying to say, stop doing that? And, her next statement was, because he knows how bullheaded I am. And he knows that I'll just keep on doing it. And my response was this. The only thing that came to my mind, and I'm not this smart, so it had to be God, said, all God needs, all he needs from us is for us to be willing. Let him take care of the able. Let God worry about whether or not we're able to do it. Let God give us the strength to do whatever it is that he has birthed within us, the dreams that he has given us. All we need to do is be willing to dream. Willing to allow God to come into our hearts and our minds and to give us the vision of great kingdom things that he wants to accomplish here in Tullahoma. And when we do that, when we are willing to do, he will make us able to do. Because you see, I can anticipate what I'm going to hear is that, Shane, I understand all that and that sounds great, but you know what? I'm just a kid. I can't do any of those things that I see people doing. Or I'm too old to accomplish these things. Caleb was 80 storming a hill, taking ground for the kingdom of heaven. There's no excuse that we can give. Only that we're unwilling to dream kingdom dreams. The process that we are going through, starting this evening, and not only this evening, but through the next few months, are of the utmost importance. Possibly nothing in your spiritual life could be more beneficial than the process we are about to begin. And I believe that God is looking for some special people, some dangerous men and women ready to dream with eyes wide open about the possibilities that can take place in their lives and in this place through the ministry that he can give us. This morning, I'm going to ask Tom if he would to come forward right now and to pray about this very thing. As we go through this process, we're going to meet tonight, and hopefully you have filled out those questionnaires, that form that was mailed to you. And if you didn't get one, that's fine. You can get one today and fill it out and think about those things. And if you still didn't get one, just come tonight anyway and talk about the things that we can do and be willing to dream a kingdom dream along with everyone else here about the possibilities of this congregation. But before we do any of that, the most important thing we can do is go before God and align our will with his will and to ask him if he would give us what we read about in Philippians, if he would give us a dream, if he would act within us to direct us to act for him. So I'm going to ask Tom if he would to come this morning and to lead us in that prayer. And at the conclusion of that prayer, and if you would, please stand with him as we pray. And at the end of his prayer, we will be led in our invitation song.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. I want it to be made known to you that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to others various gifts of tongues, and to another the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Those words from Paul. And then James, the brother of Jesus, says, let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men generously, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed about. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything. Let us pray. Lord, this afternoon, tonight, we have come to another crossroads in our congregation. You've been with us several years. We serve you with all of our hearts. We ask that your Spirit come upon us. We're asking for the wisdom to know what to do in our future, Lord. We're excited. We anticipate this greatly. We know that we've had three phases of building this facility. Now, Lord, help us to know to use that facility and to us individually be lights unto the kingdom, salt that will not be cast and trodden out, but will be used for the greater good. We ask for wisdom. Faith works through love, Lord. We know that. We commit to that. True fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are our measurements, Lord. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless this evening, Lord. And bless the future as we prioritize and look to how we can apply all of the things that each one brings to the table. Through your Son we pray. Amen.